I started it.
All right, welcome everybody to this training webinar. I'm on a call with Dr. Jason Schumard. He's been kind enough to agree to allow us to tape it so that if anything relevant or great comes out of our call, we can share it with the group. So Jason, I have a little bit of an understanding of your question, but why don't you go ahead and restate it anyway for everyone to hear.
Yeah, so a few weeks back, you and I had spoken. We went through some dialogue with a thyroid patient that was positive Hashimoto's and didn't have a lot of symptoms. And, you know, after that conversation, I felt really comfortable about how to handle that cycle. But I hadn't had a lot of non-Hashimoto's coming in, and when we had a few, the few that we've had, I didn't feel that comfortable with the more testing scripting and what to say, how to handle it, how to present it, and that's basically what I was looking to get some help with.
Okay, great. Got it. Understand. Just interesting. I'm interested to know, after our last webinar handling the positive Hashimoto's patients that kind of a minimizer doesn't have a lot of stuff going on, have you continued to see those types of patients from time to time?
Let me see. Have I had any? I don't think I've had anyone specifically that was positive for Hashimoto's like that, but I definitely have had them for the non-Hashimoto's.
Okay, good. And how has the kind of the track that I put you on last time, how has it been helpful for you?
Very helpful. Yeah, I feel like the cycles are becoming I'm just handling them more effectively, I guess you could say. I just feel more confident with them.
Good. So let's talk about the question, which is, kind of what do you do when a person, they come in for a consult or they come to a dinner talk, whatever, they go out for testing, and the TPO and the thyroglobulin antibodies are negative. So I'm interested to know first, kind of get in your space and kind of clear your mind a little bit. I want to know how you feel when you get a lab report back, you're getting ready to go meet with the patient, and the tests are negative. How do you feel?
Well, recently I feel not prepared and ready. I, in the past like 2 weeks it's been very odd. I've had probably, I don't know, maybe four or five non-Hashimoto's tests come back, and two of them actually had symptoms, and the first one, when I went through everything and I recommended, talked about the more testing, her and her husband were like to the effect of, "We'll think about it." And I found it really odd because, I could tell she was very frustrated, and we went through all her symptoms and we talked about the frustrations and, all those things. And, as I was going through it, I thought it was going to be a no-brainer. She'd be doing the future testing. But then she's, dropped the bomb of like, "I'll think about it." And we had one today who doesn't have a ton of symptoms at all. And I recommended more testing because she had her thing was, she wanted to know more about what was going on. She wanted a more holistic approach. She was looking for a different option, just taking the medication, because she didn't want to take the medication and she felt that it was could cause side effects, that sort of thing. And she was like, "Yeah, I definitely want to know what's going on. Let's run for the testing." So that's where the confusion comes into play. And I think I just don't feel confident enough how to handle that cycle yet.
So did she go out for the additional testing?
The one from today, yes.
What testing are you doing, just so we're on the same page?
Comprehensive blood analysis and hormone testing, adrenal gland and expanded female hormone panel.
Great. Awesome. And tell me, are most or all of your thyroid patients coming off of the talk, or some one-on-ones as well?
I would say, yeah, most of them are coming from the talk.
thinking when you see a negative test?
I used to think, oh, well, I got this, you know, I can do the future testing type thing and, you know, good to go. But obviously that's not what we're not getting that. I guess we're not getting everyone doing the testing, which I expected that to happen. So now I guess it's more of like, you know, oh, great. Another one of these. What am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? What am I going to say? I just don't feel confident.
In the past, when you've done thyroid and saw negative tests, were you more effective, or has it always kind of been like this?
It's been up and down. Hasn't been everywhere. Like, I mean, because what I'm gathering, and maybe I'm wrong, is what I'm gathering is what it sounds like when I hear some of the trainings with you and McKean, is that most people that you guys see that are coming in negative are doing testing. And
absolutely.
No, and for me, like, of those five patients, so this may be an issue with my talk as well. Of those five patients, three of them, like, two of them aren't even diagnosed thyroid at all. Just like, they were like, well, I just thought I'd run the test to see if I had the problem, because I do have, you know, I am tired. I do have some, you know, some weight gain, stuff like that, but I haven't ever been diagnosed as a thyroid. And then the other one, same thing. It was three of them that were like, they didn't have thyroid problems at all. So I just found it kind of odd that they would even come in and, you know, essentially waste my time and run the test if they aren't even concerned about anything.
Yeah, that's where I was going. I want to go first. I mean, it'd be really easy for me to tell you, here's what you're supposed to say in the visit, but I think it's smart to backtrack and kind of unwind how we get to that place, because the answer might be there. First of all, we allow patients come in and do the testing and qualify for the dinner or a one-on-one even if they have not been diagnosed with hypothyroid.
Yep.
And the reason is because there are a lot of people out there who have hypothyroid. They have all of the symptoms, but they just have not been able to be diagnosed for, you know, various reasons that we all know about. Now, certainly, if someone is showing up to your day two and they have no symptoms, signs of thyroid, and they're just there to pick rocks around, then, man, we got to really sharpen up our clothes at the end of the dinner talk and really make, you know, draw a line in the sand and make sure it's clear that, hey, if you've never been diagnosed with thyroid and you don't even have any of the symptoms we talked about, you don't really have any problems, please don't waste your money doing the testing. Please don't waste our time and our staff's time doing the testing and coming into the office, because this is likely not a problem for you. But really, like, thinning the herd out, just isolating those people and, you know, deleting them, so to speak. I think another thing we should check in on is because when I do a thyroid talk and we're talking about the testing, I start to talk about, you know, here's what can happen. If the staff is calling you to schedule your appointment and they're telling you to bring your significant other, then, you know, the cat's kind of out of the bag. We know you have, we know it's a positive test. Now, for those of you who go out and do the test, possible that your test will come back negative. And the reason that it occurs a lot of times is because it's a false negative. There are certain things that could be going on in your body that do not allow for your immune system to trigger a positive test. Now, for those of you who show up with a negative test, I'll still allow you to come in and meet with me, because there may be some other ways that I can help you, and we'll discuss those when I meet with you one-on-one. So you're kind of like late, you're kind of prepping it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Little preview of what could happen. You could even spend a little more time, depending upon how much time you have, you know, breaking down why they would show up negative and still have it, talking about the numbers. You know, 90% of the hypothyroid patient population is thought to have Hashimoto's. That's an awful lot. But, you know, really, when we do testing, it's about a 50-50 split of who's positive and who's negative. So something's off there between those two statistics. And really what's often off is, you know, 50% that are showing negative, a huge percentage of those folks actually have the disease. It's just not showing positive on the test. You're kind of still in limbo. I'll still be willing to meet with you, take a look at your case, decide if I can figure out what's going on with you, if I can accept your case, and kind of, you know, get into that.
Got it.
Now, one of the things that I think can happen, I'm not saying they happen for you, but I'm speaking not just to you, but to anyone who might be listening. When you get the file and you see a negative test, I know that a lot of people get negative. They can go downtown. They can get downtown. They're like, crap. And that puts you in a bad state to begin with, right? Like, you know, you go in, you're not feeling positive. You're not feeling strong. You're kind of dejected because you didn't get a positive test. In actuality, it should be the opposite. I'll just share with you how I feel when I see a negative test. I'm like, awesome. Now I get to go explain this. I get to go get some more testing done. Yes, it extends my cycle, my admission cycle. But I know that I'm more than likely going to get them to do testing, and that testing is going to come back. I'm going to have a lot of biomarkers to be able to build a case. So I'm super thrilled. I'm good to go. Just make sure you're in the right mindset when you see the negative test. That's the first thing. I'm going to make another point and it escaped me. Hold on 1 second. The other thing is, you know, these folks who go out for more testing, they have more skin in the game. What is it, about 350 some odd bucks, right? Somewhere in that ballpark?
329.
329. They have more skin in the game. They have paid more money. So, and my experience is almost all of those people close because I have so much more data to build their case. So all of that to say, you know, you have to have the right mindset before you go in.
Yeah.
So let me just kind of discuss with you and role play how communication cycle would go if I'm the doctor and then I have a patient in front of me. You can play patient if there's any two-way communication that needs to occur. Typically, there's not much going on. When I come in and talk to them about this, it's kind of like a monologue, and it's usually pretty clear to the patient. Let me just kind of get my space and so I'll come in. Hey, Mr. Patient, good to see you. I have your test results. Obviously, we're going to go over those. I just want to spend a few minutes kind of backtracking and making sure we're on the same page as to how we got here today. I know that you've been diagnosed with hypothyroid, or maybe in the case, and I know you suffer from a lot of hypothyroid symptoms, but have been unable to be diagnosed with hypothyroid, or for that matter, anything that would explain why you feel the way you feel. Fact of the matter is that many people who have hypothyroidism and those who suffer from symptoms even without a diagnosis, the number one cause for that by far, if you recall from the talk, a disease called Hashimoto's. It's an autoimmune disease, almost never checked for, very serious and aggressive inflammatory disease that often leads to other autoimmune diseases and will often cause someone's health to degenerate over time. Not a pretty sight at all. And so what we do in this office is we work on the core problem, which I think you can gather at this point in time. The problem is not a thyroid issue. The problem is it's an immune system issue. It's an autoimmune disease where your immune system is eating and attacking your thyroid gland. So in order for me to determine whether or not you're a good clinical fit for the office, in other words, do you have a condition that we have experience helping people with, we have to do the testing. And we run two antibody testing, of which you submitted yourself for, and you went out and did that blood test, and I have those test results. So let's spend a few minutes going over the test results, and then I'll explain where we can go from here. And I'll open the file, I'll turn the test results towards them, and I'll read upside down. And I'll just explain to them, look, this is called the TPO, or the thyroid peroxidase antibody. This is called the thyroglobulin antibody. These are, in fact, the biomarkers that doctors run to determine whether or not you have Hashimoto's. Now, you can see that in your case, both test results are negative. Technically, I have to tell you, that means you don't have Hashimoto's. And because of that, you know, it's unfortunate, and I know it's frustrating because you've been through the ringer with this. As I look over your history, I just can't consider you to be a patient in this practice because you don't have the conditions that we, you know, have a lot of success with, that we know how to treat. And unfortunately, I have no other explanation as to why you feel the way you feel. And so it's kind of another dead end, unfortunately. Now, the one thing I might be willing to allow you to do, let me back up a little bit before I say that. I'm pretty confident in my clinical skills that if I could figure out what's causing your problem, the mechanism behind, you know, the symptoms, list of symptoms that you have, I'm pretty sure that I could probably help you. But I'm not going to do a shotgun approach and just try a bunch of things and see what works. You've already done all of that. That's not what we do here. But the point is I don't have enough clinical data to be able to look you in the eye and tell you, hey, I know what's going on with you, and I am pretty sure we can help you. But what I might be willing to allow you to do is to do some of our testing. I'm not going to allow you to do all of our testing because it's very expansive, very time-consuming. But I will allow you to do some of our testing, which is probably going to be more than you've ever been tested in your life, and will probably give me a good window to see what's possibly going wrong with you that other people are missing, and then I might be in a better position to make, you know, a different type of call. Because right now, I have to tell you, you're not a good fit. Just another opportunity for you to, you know, see if I can help you out. Now, the testing that I would recommend would be a full blood chemistry. Just this testing alone, I can assure you, is probably more thorough than you've ever been tested in your entire life. Along with that full blood chemistry, we're going to do a urinalysis, and then we're going to do some saliva testing. That's a specialty testing, in my opinion, and there's two parts to it. One, we're going to do what's called an adrenal stress index. We're going to check the function of your stress glands, which are the little glands that sit right on top of your kidneys, and they're often the cause of a lot of the symptoms that you're experiencing. And then we're going to do a full hormone panel, see if your hormones might be implicated in, you know, how you're feeling and your health problems. Now, the cost for that, for both of those tests, we don't make any money on the testing. I'm going to get you at my price. The blood testing, for example, is on the retail side about $2,000 to $2,500 or more to do the testing. Our cost for that is $139. I'm happy to allow you to have it at my price. And again, we're just trying to get more information to see if we can help you. The cost for the saliva test is, or whatever it is, $170. So it'll be a total of $329. You know, I'm willing to do that for you if that's something you want to do. And that's it. And in most cases, I mean, a very high percentage of people are like, yeah, I want to do that. So the positioning is, you're not a fit. And when I tell them that, it's like another dead end. I let that hang for a while. Because if you did a good job at the dinner, the person is going for the testing because they're like, finally, at least it's another avenue I haven't tried before, and this might be my answer. This guy seems to know what he's talking about. He's got testimonials. Patients do well in his office. So they come in or go into this process hopeful. And here they go again. Doctor saying, I don't know how to help you. And then from there, it's positioned as, here's what I, you know, and I have no basis to approve you or admit you into care at all, but I'll be willing to allow you to do this. Not all of it, but some of it. But enough for me to make some clinical decisions. And I might throw in at the end, now look, it's very possible you can go out and do all of this testing, it comes back, and I'm still in the same place where there's really not a clinical direction for me to take. Now that's pretty rare, because the expansiveness of the testing I'm going to do for you with someone who's sick, and clearly you're sick and not feeling well, more than likely we're going to find out at least some of the causes as to why you're not feeling well. But it's possible that I won't be able to take your case after that as well. It's just, all of that is a pullback, right?
Yeah.
So that's more or less how I do that. I might have gotten a little more wordy than I typically do. Generally, it's like kind of come at it from a take it or leave it situation. You know, I can't help you right now with what I have. You can either stay sick or you can take another step, whatever. And if they say, no, I think I'm going to, I'll just kind of wait and think about it. I'll say, yeah, I think that's a good idea. I wish you the best of luck, and I'm out. I'm done. Moving on.
Is the scripting, the verbiage you're saying, the same for someone who doesn't have a lot of symptoms as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep, it's the same.
Okay.
Now, I might also go into a little explanation. Look, and I think I covered this already. Within my presentation to the patient, look, this doesn't mean that you don't have Hashimoto's. You could very well still have Hashimoto's. You remember at the dinner talk, I talked about people who have a diagnosis of hypothyroidism, 90% of them have this, but we only see about 50% of them testing positive, so there's a big gap there. You could very well still have this disease brewing underneath the surface, despite these test results. And it's just, I know it's frustrating, but it is what it is. And I have to go off test results. And based on that, I can't consider you for care.
So basically with these tests, this specific cycle, you don't go over any of their problem at this point?
No, I'm not spending.
Got it.
When I see the negative test, I'm going in and I'm getting right after it. I'm in and out. I mean, 10 minutes max, probably
okay.
Less.
So that's where I'm doing the wrong thing then, because I'm actually going over trying to figure out if there's a problem there, and then, you know, to talk about the problem, and, you know, that's where I'm going wrong. Okay.
I think that could be something to change that may help you. It's kind of like, it's still professional, it's polite, but it's kind of like the doctor who comes in and he's freaking late and he's got to go to the next patient. He's like, all right, make a freaking decision. I don't care which one you make, just make one so I can move on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I remember being in my clinic when we were at the height and just stupid busy. I was like, I mean, 5 minutes, I'd be in and out. And it seemed like the more I went in there in a little bit of a rush, with some energy, laid it all out, and kind of was in that situation where I didn't care if they did the test or not, the more people opted in for the testing.
Got it.
I think we may have hit on something. You may be belaboring it so much, kind of by doing that, kind of leaning in too much. And it needs to be a little bit more slam, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah. And now that I'm thinking back, I think what I prior when I was doing prior stuff and I was having more people sign up for testing, I was more like that. I wasn't going in there and talking about their symptoms or what problems they were having. I was just going in and saying, listen, it's negative test, so this is what the best option is for you. You can either run it or not and move on. And I think we had better results with that way. So, okay, makes sense.
Is your communication more or less like mine is?
And I think early on it was. I think what I was doing, I was using the similar cycle that we had where we spoke on the phone about someone who has a positive Hashimoto's and using that same type of cycle, but just converting it into a more testing.
Yeah. I think we may have just debugged that problem.
Yeah.
Probably. Now, so circle back with yourself and I would adopt a bunch of the same language that I use and cutting out the, you know, the lengthy trying to figure out if there's a problem and all of that.
Yeah, agreed. Okay. Do you have time for two other things real quickly?
Yeah, let me just make sure. I was going to say something else. Oh, yeah. Remember what we talked about in Vegas. It seems to be the less you care, the more people want.
Right.
Right? So that whole, you know, a doctor who's like sitting there, they're not even a patient, going over two blood markers and it's taken, you know, 30 minutes and they're digging into your case, like kind of needy, kind of like a little bit too much care.
Yeah.
Too much process for where they are. And that might be the dynamic that's going on.
Yep.
Cool.
Agreed.
Yeah,
agreed.
I have a few more minutes. You want to do it on recording or off?
I think on is fine. I just wanted to see. I wanted to get your input on a couple cycles that I had today as well. The first one was a diabetic patient, very like not really giving a lot, having to pull a ton from this person. You know, come basically just diagnosed a year ago, not on any medications, a dentist, and you know, not wanting to. I had to pull out of her that
stop.
She go ahead.
Stop.
Yep.
I have a response and then you can keep telling me.
Okay.
Look, this is a very difficult, you know, I call it cycle, if you understand what I mean. It's a very difficult cycle for me. It's kind of confusing, to be honest with you. What I'm used to seeing from my prospective patients is that they are here and they're giving me and are willing to give me the information that I need in order for me to consider their case. It's usually not this hard. It's usually a very easy cycle. They're very forthcoming with their feelings, their emotions, their problems, their fears, their frustrations, their concern about the future, etc. And I gotta tell you, this is not that way. This is, it's just something that is throwing me off. And I'm concerned that if it doesn't change, I won't be able to even consider your case, let alone take your case. And I'm wondering why you're having a hard time opening up to me and talking to me about why you want me to take your case, why you're here in the first place. It's just a little bit confusing because you're here. I suspect you didn't come in to get out of the rain. Now, we live in San Diego. It never rains, but you're here in a doctor's office, but yet the way you present yourself to me, it almost seems like there's not this big problem that you want solved. So any feedback on all that I just said?
So basically she kept saying all she came in for, she wanted to know what we do to help patients.
Okay, so let me respond to that. So I'm sorry, it's maybe my fault, maybe I wasn't as clear as I usually am at the dinner talk, and if I wasn't, I apologize. The people that sign up and come to this particular visit, I don't know if you remember me saying, my expectation is that they know they have a problem that they want solved, and they're coming into my office to understand whether or not I'm willing to accept their case, go through the qualification process. But you're not in that situation, admittedly. You're in a situation where you're trying to find out what I do, and what I do was thoroughly and exhaustively explained in the dinner talk, and I'll summarize it for you and very quickly. You have type 2 diabetes. I don't really care. Doesn't really matter to me. The only thing that tells me is you can no longer regulate your own blood sugar. It's just a label. What we do for our patients is we go about the business of finding out what causes their condition. Not genetics, not weight loss, not your diet, not your exercise program, not your weight. No, the physiological underpinnings of what's driving your inability to regulate your blood sugar. And we do that through exhaustive testing. Once that testing comes back, I analyze it, find out what's causing what, and I begin to customize a program for you that will address the root underlying problem so that your type 2 diabetes can hopefully reverse. That's it. That's what we do in a nutshell. There's no other explanation that's needed.
Yeah, and that's...
I'm trying to find out today if you're a good fit for my practice. And if you're still in the position where all you want to know is whether or not all you want to know is what I do here and what we do, then we don't need to continue. But I'm happy to continue if this is something you want me to consider you for. Notice I didn't say something that you might be interested in.
Right. And that,
something that you want me to consider you for.
Yeah, and those, and the that specific line of communication is how I was being presenting myself as well. And right. She just would not have it. Continuing the same,
something basically like I just said.
Yeah, and continue to say, but exactly, I understand that. But what do you do? What do you mean? What do you mean by analysis? What does that specifically mean? What is it that you're actually doing to patients to help them? And I was like, I guess I don't understand. I just basically just said, what we do. If you're looking for specific,
let me ask you something. I'm tracking with you.
Yep.
Was this person cognitively challenged, or were they just kind of being distant, like playing a game?
In my opinion, I think she thought she was smarter than me and trying to like be like, you know, the one that was in control, and I was not allowing her.
She was trying to interview you. And
right.
So here's what I would say. I would say, I'm not really sure what you're asking me, because I just explained what it is that I do. Now, if you're asking me about the minutiae, the physiology, the biochemistry, the tests we run, how I analyze that, and what I've learned over the last 15 years studying, if you're trying to ask me to impart that knowledge to you, when you're not even going to understand it in the first place, I'm not willing to do that. And I'm not being ugly with you, don't get me the wrong way, but I want to be direct with you. I'm not here to be interviewed by you. At all. I'm here to understand whether or not you might be a good fit. And if all you want to know is what I do, then I appreciate where you are with this, but this is not my process.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be a good fit. I wish you the best of luck.
Okay, good. So then I did handle it the right way, and then she kind of went at me and was like, well, in my office,
right.
You know, I tell patients what they need to do, give them costs, everything else. I'm like, I understand that.
Right.
And that's what you do in your practice, and that's fantastic if you want to do that in your practice. That's not how I run my practice. That's not how we get the amazing results in our practice. So, I mean, I just don't think we're a good fit.
And then she said what?
And she was like, okay, whatever. And then I was like, I just stood up and walked out. And I went up to the front desk and I said, Stephanie, this patient, she's just not a good fit for our practice, right in front of another patient that was sitting down in front of her.
Perfect. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. So as long as you're not being lazy, non-confrontational, you're trying to be liked, and so as long as you're handling these people the way that we have just been discussing, you drill down, and if they won't pop in the line, you're done. And you go up to the front, you do exactly what you did, and that infuses your practice with so much energy, it's so attractive that it'll come back to you tenfold.
Yeah, and the next patient was a more testing, and she did.
She did the testing, right?
Yep.
Yeah, because you had an opportunity to show people and put that energy out there that I'm not to be trifled with. Don't come in here effing around.
Yeah.
I don't have time for this crap.
Okay,
I know how busy you are running all facets of your practice. You don't have time.
Right.
So walk around and hold yourself as such.
Yep.
This is not your day to come in and fuck with me.
Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I am moving in towards that persona. That's why I wanted to have that conversation with you about that. And then go ahead.
Sorry, that's what she was doing. You got this dentist, I'm a doctor.
Yep.
You know, I got to prove how smart I am, this, that, and the other. And look, some of the ladies who are listening to this, you're not going to like this, and she's female. I'm not saying all females, but a lot of females who are doctors and professionals, there's this sense of, you know, I got to overcompensate to show how smart I am and how valuable I am. And when they actually don't, it's just a thing that I have found a lot of females to present with, especially professionals. It's an insecurity in them. And so when you see that, you can recognize it for what it is. It's them being insecure.
Yeah.
It's their problem, not yours. I'm not saying that's a fact with her, but more than likely that was going on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even going back even further from another conversation that we had and how I hold on to certain cycles and I kind of, you know, think about it and hold it on everything. Like, I feel like I'm getting better. But at the same time, when I have a specific situation, I just want to make sure that I'm handling things properly and not getting too aggressive, if you will. I think I'm becoming better at sorting, if you will.
I think the only thing you need to watch, and I'm not hearing the audio, I'm just hearing you give it back to me, is you have the propensity to be riled up.
Mm-hmm.
And your energy gets really, really fussy and like pointed. The energy is almost like a needle, like you're just like very terse. And it's very uncomfortable. So what you should be working on and making sure that you're launching your responses from an area of no emotion. Like, I don't care if you walk out here and get hit by a bus. I really don't care. Like, they don't let them cause any negative emotion to rise up in you and let them see that, because then they're winning. Then they have the control. But for you, that's important to assess.
Yeah. No, I 100% accurate. And I also feel, and maybe that's where the energy comes from and the reaction, is that oftentimes I speak very quickly. I don't communicate very well. I'm not enunciating very well. So I'm really, really trying to work on that. And I think it's a couple of reasons why. I think number one is that, I don't know if this is a true statement or not, but I feel like my brain works faster than I can get it out sometimes. And the second thing is there's so many things going on around me that I feel like I have to do things quickly, and that includes speaking. And oftentimes that puts me in a bad situation.
Yeah, you're bringing up a really good point. I've noticed that with you. Your speech does get very rapid.
Yep.
And at times that's useful because it's energetic. You know, when you're talking about clinicals and stuff like that, you can be in that space. But when there's a period of time where you have to confront and be direct, that should trigger you to freaking slow down, like you're high as a kite on weed, like just calm.
Yep.
Slow down. That will disarm people. Because even if you're not emotionally riled up, and you're speaking rapidly, out of habit, they will think you are.
Right.
And that's not attractive.
I agree, because I've listened to some of my conversations and some of my cycles that I've been recording, because I record all of them now. And sometimes I still do that, and I catch myself, and it's like I have to make sure I'm aware of this when this is happening, so I can control it more effectively.
Right. It's when you're able to stay calm, be calmly, slow down. It's, remember when you worked with Lauren, my spiritual mentor, talks about the term being grounded. You know, you're just like, just tethered to the earth. Like, the opposite of that is not being grounded. It's just kind of flighty and kind of up all over the place, floating around. Being grounded is a very strong leadership quality.
Yeah. Agreed. Last thing I wanted to just ask you real briefly and see how, you know, if there was another way I could have handled this situation that happened today. We have a thyroid patient, positive Hashimoto's, go through the whole process, agree to a monthly payment. I go in, confirm everything with my PCC in front of the patient. The PCC comes back out and grabs me and says, the person does not want to do financing. So I go back in to find out what's going on, and we come to an agreement that she will do 6 equal monthly payments in the office instead of doing financing because she didn't want her credit run. So I go out, I get that confirmation from the patient, they're willing to do that. I come back out, my PCC comes back again and says that the patient does not have her credit card on them, and I say, okay. So then I go back in, I just sit down, I say, okay, what's going on? What's happening here? And then she goes and says, well, I have a lot going on right now. I want to start in June. I said, no, we're not starting in June. Everything you mentioned to me at this point was all the things you talked about and getting healthy again, like from what I gathered from what you told me is what I from our communication cycle is, this is something you want to handle and take care of right now. What is going on? And then some of the things started coming up that didn't be discussed to handle some, so I'm assuming there's some objections there. So then we come to the agreement that she will come back next week with her credit card, pay for take the initial testing, and then we can start everything basically in a couple weeks, basically. So give her some time to do all the testing and everything, since she's got so much stuff going on in her life. She agrees to that, schedules the appointment. This is today. This is today.
Oh, today.
But my intuition tells me she's not going to show up.
No.
And so I'm trying to figure out what else could have happened or what else I could have done that specific situation. Do I just say, you know, move forward and just say, okay, unfortunately, I guess I was mistaken in what you were saying. So my understanding was this is important for you, but you're putting things out of the priority. So maybe this isn't the right opportunity. What is it? I don't know. You give me some insight on that.
All right. There's one of two ways you can go. One, you know, she's not fucking coming back. It ain't happening, Jack. She's not coming back next week. She's not coming back in June. You're never going to see like a ghost. Never going to see her again.
That's my intuition as well.
Right. So you could approach it and say, all right, that sounds good. We'll see you next week. Knowing she's never going to come back in and just disconnect. What I think you need to do for yourself and your office right now is you need to stay in that situation, and all the ones that come up that are like this, you need to say something like this. You know what? I appreciate all that you said and that you want to come in next week. But you know, all of this back and forth has left me questioning whether or not I made the right decision in admitting you into the practice and agreeing to help you with this autoimmune disease. And I have to, unfortunately, honor my process and my intuition, and my intuition says this is not a good fit for me. Just too much back and forth. You got, you know, you want to start in June, you want to come back next week, and I just don't think you're in a place where you're ready to commit to this. It's not a case I can take, but, you know, and I'm sorry, I do wish you the best of luck moving forward. Take it away. Let them move on. Be done. Stay in control. You'll get more out of that than you will just kind of placating them and say, okay, we'll see you next week, knowing they're not going to come back.
Got it.
That will be the best medicine for you. That's good practice, good energy. It rides into the law of attraction. You will get more back from that than the other way.
Got it.
Cool.
Makes sense. I mean, I it's interesting you say that because I actually had that thought in my mind prior to going in there.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I had a counter thought of saying, well, you know, potentially by doing that, the whole process of the acceptance and everything you've just done made no sense whatsoever if you're taking it away. But I guess it just, the way that I was thinking how I was going to present it wasn't the same as what you just said, and that made more clarity for me.
Yeah, makes perfect sense the way I laid it out. And give me a second. It just sends out to the universe that I don't need this person's case.
Yeah.
I don't need this person's money. My value is not tied to the money they're going to pay me. My value is not tied to feeling validated by the fact that they shifted care and paid today and started. My value is dictated by, I know who I am. I know what I deliver. I know what my education and my philosophy says. I know the results that I produce. I don't need anyone else to validate that. But when you get into that space, man, look out. You're about to make some serious money.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why the rich get richer. That's why when you look at people who have amazing practices and you say, I don't get it, man. This guy or gal, they don't miss. Like, they fucking close everybody. And everybody's showing up. Like, that doesn't happen in my practice. And I'm telling you why, because I lived it on both sides of the fence. When you're in abundance and things are rolling, it's just coming to you, right?
Yeah.
You're literally picking and choosing. You're sorting. No selling. I mean, so he is, as we talked about in Vegas, being able to put yourself in that state, even though that state is not yet manifested in the physical reality. Putting yourself in that emotional state to such an extent that it's almost like you believe it. We talked about feeling what it feels like. We talked about it basically tricks your subconscious into thinking that you already have what you want to have, and then it's able to attract more of what you have. Because like attracts like. So if your subconscious believes that you already have $1 million in the bank, it's going to attract more of the $1 million.
Yep.
It's like, on the one hand, when you say it, it's like, oh yeah, that makes total sense. On the other hand, as soon as you start to think about it, it's like a mind fuck. Like, you can't keep up with it. It just goes out of your head. Poof. Weird. At least that's how it is for me.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because we're programmed the other way. So we start to see the truth, and then the programming just overrides it. And so the more you stay in touch with this type of information, reading it, thinking through it, practicing it, the less and less programmed you become, and more you can stay in that state of, I already have it. It's just not here in the physical universe. but I feel it. Super cool, man. I mean, it's, you know, what's interesting is I lost touch with this stuff to a large degree. Then recently I started rereading some books that I read back in the day when I was, you know, starting our climb. And it's just kind of got me in a brand new space. And just so you know, I've decided to take all of that information that I delivered in Vegas, and I'll be delivering it over the next few webinars, because although I don't like to deliver what we do at a live workshop, because then people are going to think I'm going to do that all the time, and I won't, and they just won't show up. And there's something about showing up. You're a different person when you show up to an outside event. You know, you show up in a different way. Your interaction with your colleagues is different, et cetera, et cetera. So I think this information is so important that I'm going to re-deliver it over the course of the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 webinars. So be on the lookout for that.
I think it's going to be even more impactful for the people who are there to hear it again and be able to process it again as well.
Yeah, and I think I'll be able to deliver it better because I've had some time to process it. You know, I spent a lot of hours building that, and so you can probably see when I delivered it, it was kind of a little bit disjointed and kind of wasn't as well delivered as it could have been for several reasons. But I think now that I've had more time to play with it, I'll be able to make it a little more impactful and relevant to what we all do.
Yeah. Agreed.
So I'll probably call it Burning It Down, and it'll have like Burning It Down Part 1, Burning It Down Part 2, so be on the lookout for those.
Yeah, you going to play some music in the background as well, or?
Probably not. I'll probably be laying in my bed on a weekend, hanging it out.
Nice. All right. Well, perfect. Well, I appreciate you taking the call. I know it's Friday and everything, and you have a lot going on. I really do appreciate you sitting down. And these, I don't know. I mean, for me, it's been very impactful, very helpful for me to get back on track and everything. So I really appreciate it.
Cool, man. Glad to do it. Have a good weekend. Enjoy your kids. And talk to you soon.
Yeah, you too. You have a great weekend. Take care. Bye-bye.